Welcome back. Thanks for listening. So before we get started and before I start rambling and bore you, better say the prayer. Our Father's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Okay. Oh, throat's a bit husky. I think it's something in this room that I'm sitting in. But anyway. I think we're up to my boring life. Well, the boring part of it wasn't too boring. It's good being married and having children, and I've learned that whenever I pray something, it happens. And I've four awesome children, and some these days my children now have children. I have grandkids. I have three grandchildren now, but we're looking at around my 20s, 22 now, sort of thing. Last episode, I think I was babbling on about teens, and that was one before that, and starting to work for myself. I'm settled in Rotorua, working for myself, seeing the angels sort of turn up and vanish and things like that. But we fast forward a bit to around 22, I think, or 23. I was 22. Oh, I might have been 23-ish. Actually, it was around about the same time as the last episode I'd done. It was still in the same time period, around 20s. So I said in one of the, I think it was the first one for the season, that I met Jesus when I was like 8. Horrific childhood, blah, blah, blah. Man, there's something in this room. So yeah, met Jesus when I was 8, told me I belonged to him. Anyway, I think I'm 22, and we're in a property. My wife's mother's living with us, helping us with the children. They're just young at this point, and, like preschool, early childhood. Taking them to play centre, that age. There's only three at that time. I have four now. Three children at that time. And life was quite hard. I know I just said I pray and God gives me things. I learned that pretty early. But I went through a phase of not feeling worthy to ask God for anything. Actually, I'm just going to open a bloody door. I felt unworthy at some point. For a very long time, actually. I felt unworthy to ask for anything. It's enough that he died for our sins, that we get into heaven. It's enough that I met him and he shook my hand. I belonged to him. I didn't want to ask for anything more. So actually, all I did ask for was work. And there was a short period. There was a short period where there wasn't any work. And probably because at that time my wife and I we like drinking and stuff and having parties and going clubbing and crap like that. I call it the stupid period. And we sort of didn't go to church that much either. We noticed a few things about pastors and churches started changing. It was all about the money. It was all about the fame. And just corrupt. Fornications. Pastors like cheating on their partners and partners like bloody near jumping on other guys, and families break down. There was, the churches were going, they still are actually. Just a parent said, we stopped going to church. And it was like work stopped, and we ended up having to go on an unemployment benefit, like a government subsidy thing. I don't know what they call it in other countries. But here, it's a government benefit. And so we went through this period of about 6 months of being broke all the time. Might have been a year and a half, I don't remember. It was a while. And, yeah, it was a bad week. We had hardly any food in the house. And Jesus came. An angel went before him. First, I didn't realize Jesus was there. So this guy walks up the driveway and just looks like a normal dude, like all the other angels I told you about. He walks up the driveway and he says to me, I'm told this is a good place to come. I said, yeah, that we welcomed everyone. Anyone, you know, people needed a place to stay, we made room. And we there, at one point there, we had this couple in a room and they were on a couch actually for a few weeks. This couple living in our lounge, and a lady and her two children living in a room that we have. They just needed a place to stay temporarily before they had to, they were going to go somewhere else to other family around the country. So they were saving their benefit money to be able to move. And eventually they moved on, and people got to know that about us. And so when this dude walks up the driveway, he says, oh, here, this is a good place to come. I says, yeah, by all means, come on in. Make you a drink of coffee or something, you're hungry. And he says, no, you just stop me there. And he says, do you have any fruit? And I says, oh, yeah, we've got fruit and some cans of peaches and pears in the cupboard. And I says, no, fresh fruit. I says, not really. We had like a orange and an apple, I think, and that was it. I think my mother-in-law rusked up like 3 bits of fruit. And I says to him, not really. There's like a 1 or 2. It's not much. Yeah, you're welcome to it. He says, oh, okay, well, you got any bread? He says, yeah, there's a loaf of bread in there. Okay, you stop me there. You stop me again. Come on. I says, come on. And then this other guy from me that was standing next to the hedge walks into the driveway, and I sort of semi-recognized him. And in hindsight, I remember, that was Jesus. You're standing at the end of the driveway. I look past this dude, and I says, oh, there's a guy standing there. And the angel goes, no, just don't worry about him. I said, yeah, but there's a guy standing there. He goes, no, don't worry about it. He said, what sort of guy? I said, there's this black guy down there. And he goes, well, you racist. I says, no, look. I saw that Jesus was actually getting a bit annoyed by this. He started looking at me like a tad bit annoyed. And probably because I said he was a black guy. But he was. You know, I didn't know what else to say. I could have said he's African, or I suppose in hindsight I could have said he looks like Egyptian maybe. But anyway, let's get past that. And we're on bread. And he says, bread, you got some bread? Yeah. You got anything going? We've got butter and peanut butter and jam. And he says, no, we can't have any of that. Nothing with sugar and no dairy. Because of the butter. He said, oh, I think he said, what sort of butter? I says, oh, it's just normal butter. And that's what my reply was. And he says, oh, what sort of bread? And I says, well, normal bread you buy off the shelf at the supermarket. I didn't realize he was an angel at this point. And I kind of was wondering about the dude down the back. I didn't know who I forgot. I actually had forgotten about Jesus by 22. And it was like, I don't know why, just did. Life got busy. I was 8 at the time. Now I'm 22. And so let's carry on with the bread. And he says, oh, and I said, normal bread off the supermarket. He said, oh, I can't have that. I think he said, what sort of bread? I said, bread from the supermarket. He says, oh, done, made with baking powder. I think is what he said. And I said, yeah, big loaf of bread, cut into slices, a pack of supermarket. And he goes, oh, have you got any unleavened bread? Was his words. And I said, not baking powder bread. No. We only got leavened bread. And he goes, oh, we can't have that. And I go, oh, okay. Oh, I'm thinking, he says, he got anything else, anything at all? Think hard. We got Weet-Bix. And he goes, we can have that. That's got leaven. I said, no. No, it's not. It's just wheat stuck together. It's just wheat. He goes, we can have that. Got anything go on it? And I says, yeah, we got milk. He goes, what sort of milk? Yeah, normal milk in a bottle from a cow. He goes, we can't have dairy. And so I thought, oh, no. Is it? What about water? I says, yeah, there's a tap inside. Come on. We'll give you whatever we got. Come. And he stopped me again. And I went to go grab him. He said, don't touch me. I said, what the fuck? I'm starting to like freak out now. What's this dude on? You could see I was sort of like freaking out at him a little bit. And the other guy down the back starts talking. My mother-in-law shouts from the step, yeah, we've got some fruit. And of course I've been saying, no, we don't have much. And so Jesus pipes up and says, you're lying. And I said, no, I'm not. We've got a few bits of fruit in there. Come in and you can have them. We got some Weet-Bix. You got butter on the Weet-Bix. Oh, but that's dairy. You can't have dairy. Just have Weet-Bix with water and the fruit we got. And we'll find something. Come. And my mother-in-law shouted out and said, I could go to the neighbors and ask. I said, yeah, quick, go. And Jesus said, we haven't got time. We have to go. Now, I remember at this point, I didn't realize it was Jesus. I didn't realize that guy was an angel. It wasn't until many years later, like 43, when my memories came back, that I put it all together. Anyway, so, yeah, he said, no, we haven't got time. We got to go. And then the angel says, hang on, we got any water? I says, yeah, water on tap. He says, oh, no, filtered water, clean water. I says, oh, we got a water filter. It's under the bench. But I think it needs a new filter. We haven't been using it. We could plug it in and check it out. Come on in. And we can have what we have. Mother-in-law go to the neighbors. But they didn't. He says, no, it's okay. And what did the angel say? Oh, you're not worth it. And I said to him, what? Why? What did I do? He says, no, you're not worth it. And Jesus told him, apologize. And so he apologized, and then they walked off. And before that, Jesus said something. And then the driver says, because, you know, we're having a hard time trying to find something that they can eat and drink. So I had, like, nothing that they can eat and drink. I had dairy food, leavened bread, canned fruit, and, you know, like, cornflakes and stuff. But nothing to go with it, because I didn't realize they don't have dairy. They don't eat dairy. And so Jesus sort of yells out and says, we've been walking for 3 days. I says, yeah, we'll come in and rest and we'll put the filter on and we'll get you, you know. And they just sort of denied me, I suppose. Jesus and this angel came down the driveway, and it seems like they were, like, at the time I didn't know what the hell was going on. And so, yeah, they ended up going after that, when he says, oh, no, we're walking 3 days. I said, oh, yeah, well, come on, we'll put the filter in, and mother-in-law go next door and get some stuff from the neighbors, and it'll be okay. We have what we have. We have whatever we've got left. And then he just said, no, we haven't got time, we've got to go. I know somewhere else. And the angel says, you know, oh, you're not worth it. Twice, I think. And then then Jesus told them to apologize, and he apologized, and they left. And to that, to this day, I still can't figure out what that was all about. I mean, like, now we know better. Well, we think we do. And going over my memories of seeing angels coming and going all the time, I now realize that it was just pulling my leg. Because today, with this COVID crap going on, and the chemtrails in the sky, and all the different poisons being laced into the foods in the supermarket, and even the water coming through the tap is contaminated with fluoride and chlorine and whatever the hell else they're putting in it. Because those jabby jabs they're putting into people these days that are causing heart attacks and blood clots, I'm not going to say it because it'll just get taken down. You know what I'm talking about. The jabby jabs that culled the population. They got parasites in them. Hydra parasites. So those are probably in the water system now. And so going back over the memories now, what he was doing was preparing his people for this day. I'm willing to bet he went around to every single one of his people. What a momentous task. What a massive task he did. To tell them all the same thing. And they knew what we had in the cupboard. Come on. It's Jesus and an angel. It's God's son. They knew that we were broke and had like nothing, willing to still bring them in and give them what we have. And they still didn't. I invited them. They have whatever we got. And they still didn't. Now, the angel said to me, "You're not worth it." Because that's something I used to say to lots of people at that time. I was like, "Oh, fuck, you're not worth it. You're not worth the time of day." It was like a common thing. "Oh, fuck, this isn't worth it. Ah, fuck it. We get out of here. You're not worth it." I used to say that all the time to people. And so he was just throwing it back at me, teaching me a lesson. And so I'm grateful now. And so ever since that day, it kind of like stuck with me. And but eventually that faded away and it came back to me again. after my anointing, I'll have to do a podcast on that. After an angel poured an anointing on me, and it was totally, I'll do a podcast on that. So after the anointing, all these memories came flooding back. God told me to tell his children, and so that's what I'm doing. I'm just going to tell my whole life story and a whole lot of other stuff that tells me to tell eventually. So that encounter, Jesus and an angel for the second time. Angel preceded him. First angel preceded, you know, my first encounter with shaking his hand, I was 8 years old, and angel preceded him, and the second time I was 22, I think. I'm pretty sure I was like 22, 23, something like that. I'd had two children by that time. I think I was 23. And he didn't shake my hand the second time, and the angel told me not to touch him. So he didn't even come near me the second time. He's all the way down the driver, like 5 or 6 meters away. Yeah. And I saw that angel a second time on the highway. Recently, I'll let you know in another podcast, that one. So we're coming up 20 minutes. What episode is this one, actually? 6, I think, or 7. Anyway, Psalms 23. A good prayer for you to memorize. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.